So today we read from the Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. Chapter Madhya Lila, chapter 19, text 132. I don't know why this verse came to my mind, but I think it's a little bit related to the preparation, book distribution. This is the conversation. The Lord instruct Srila Rupa Goswami, Chaitanya Charitamrita, and text 132. Translation with a nice purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai Prabhupada. When the personal associates of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu will hear of the activities of Rupa and Sanatana Goswami, they would say, "What is wonderful for a person who has been granted the Lord's mercy?" In other words, this question of the associates of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, it's like a question in wonder. It's not that they're asking, "What is wonderful?" They want an answer. They're just like wondering, in wonder. There is nothing special. Don't be surprised that, you know, someone who has the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu can accomplish great things. That's what it means. Is it correct? Don't be surprised. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Srila Rupa Goswami and Sanatana Goswami had no fixed residence. They stayed beneath a tree for one day only, and wrote huge volumes of transcendental literature. I thought somebody's chanting their rhymes. It's okay. You can carry on. They not only wrote books, but chanted, danced, discussed Krishna, and remembered Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes. Thus they executed devotional service. In Vrindavan, there are Prakrita Sahajas who say that writing books, or even attaching books, is taboo. For them, devotional service means being relieved from these activities. Whenever they are asked to hear a recitation of Vedic literature, they refuse, saying, "What business do we have reading or hearing transcendental literature? They are meant for neophytes." They pose themselves to be elevated, to exert energy from reading, writing and hearing. However, pure devotees, under the guidance of Srila Rupa Goswami, reject this Sahaja's philosophy. It is certainly not good to write literature for money or reputation, but to write books and publish them for the enlightenment of the general populace is a real service to the Lord. That was Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati's opinion, and he specifically told his disciples to write books. He actually preferred to publish books rather than establish temples. Temple construction is meant for the general populace and neophyte devotees. But the business of advanced and empowered devotees is to write books, publish them and distributed them widely. According to Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, distributing literature is like playing on a great mridanga, yes. And what is called great mridanga? Brihat mridanga, very nice. Consequently, we always request members of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness to publish as many books as possible and distribute them widely throughout the world by those following in the footsteps of Srila Rupa Goswami. One can become a Rupanuga devotee. Jai. Srila Rupa Goswami ki jai. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ki jai. When the personal associates of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would hear of the activities of Srila Rupa and Sanatana Goswami, they would say, "What is wonderful for a person who has been granted the Lord's mercy?" So, the mood of the Acharya, it's actually expressed here. Srila Prabhupada, very interestingly, very often he used the royal "we." Therefore, "we," at the end, he says, consequently, we always request members of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness to publish as many books as possible and distribute them widely throughout the world. When Prabhupada said "we," it meant, you know, it's a humble, honorific title that you... I've seen Bhaktivedya Purnaswami also. He uses "we." We're trying our best, you know, to train those children in Mayapur. Tamalakrishna Maharaj would often say that, because you're not taking the credit for yourself. You don't say, I am doing this. But there is a string of personalities behind you who also have the same desires, who have transmitted this desire, this mood to their disciples. But it goes all the way up to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So when Srila Prabhupada says "we," and meant not just something that he invented from his mental utopia, but he meant, you know, this is the desire of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and all the previous acharya, that you print books, distribute books. And Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, was very strong about this point. You could see that there are not many Gaudiya Math temples in India. Not many. But there were 60,000 disciples. So many disciples with families also. So many. The congregation of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was very wide, because he would put more importance on people. He would invest more energy on people than bricks. And that's why there was arguments on the demise of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Prabhupada. You know, I will take that room and you take that one and I will take that section. And when Srila Bhaktisiddhanta came to know about it, he said to Prabhupada, "There is a fire in the mat." He said, "Strip off the marble from the world. Just knock down those temples and sell it. Print books." He said, "You know, sell it and print books, because the books, they make people. They generate faith, they make new devotees, but not the bricks. The bricks, they generate more pigeons." You know, if you can build, you could see every single roof of every house in the world has got some gift from a pigeons, birds, and moss. So that's what the roofs, that's what the breaks attract. Temples, of course, we need the temples to accommodate to invite the Supreme Personality of Godhead to stay. And this is the warehouse where all the mercy should come out. But it's not the place where people, they should come and make themselves very comfortable. It's a place of worship. It's an office. You know, you don't go and make yourself comfortable in an office. When the people, they come and see Krishna, Krishna is available to everybody. He gives himself through the darshan to everyone. And then people, the pilgrims, as rightly they do, they go. They don't come in and lay down in the temple. They have a picnic in the temple room. So the house of the Lord, it's actually the goshal. The goshal, it's where the Lord, it's got the cows. It's more homely. It's unofficial. You can go there, you know, you can feel the presence of the Lord even more into a body of a cow. And the presence of the Lord, you feel it into a body of a devotee, of a Brahman. What do you speak, a preacher? So the Lord is not to be found in the temple. Temple is just a training place for us to become more polished, to develop good habits and to learn how to worship the Lord. But if we want feel the presence of the Lord, then that presence becomes manifest into the preaching. That's why Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, he said, preaching is a life. One who preaches has a life. That life is a Chaitanya, it's Krishna. One who preaches, that person, he has a Krishna in his heart, very much alive. One who doesn't preach, there is no life. Maybe there is some life just for yourself. You can realize yourself through self-realization. That's fine. The Lord is very merciful. At least if we cannot save others, then we can save ourselves. But the idea of advancing spiritually, it's to preach the message of God. Wherever you go, whoever you meet, and this message, the best way to preach it is through books. Book distribution, it's is the crown jewel of all the preaching programs. As I said, you know, on Sunday, even more than Harinam. Why? Because Harinam, you don't have confrontation. You chant Hare Krishna. And some people, they may get benefit, they may not. The demons, they stay away from you because you're not bothering them. You're not obstructing anybody. You're not challenging anyone. But book distribution, it's you have to make an endeavor to convince someone about Krishna. You have to make an endeavor to stop the people, to through all the different types of difficulty. There are people who are unfavorable. The people, they don't like you. They don't like religions. There are people who they're very agnostic, atheistic. Not everyone is favorable in the street. So it's not that when you go out on book distribution, it's completely a nectar and filled. You know, you have to expect some different type of nectar. It's a challenge. It's and that nectar, it's tasted into the through the your taxing your brain, your intelligence is tested through feeling the cold, feeling the rejection of the people, feeling humbled. And it really, that's when we are Krishna. In other words, what he does, it's like the grass. You cut down, you know, all the grass of pride. Book distribution is like that, mowing the grass of all the bad qualities. It's time for mowing the grass, all the anartha, all the how do you call it, the weirds. That's what a book distribution does. But then afterwards you feel that the field is clean, nice, and you just leave, you know, the flowers, the few vegetables that you want, the few things, you know, that you they are actually favorable for your devotional service. So that's what a book distribution does. It gives some pain. Now, I'm not here to inspire you to go and drink the nectar, because you may not find the nectar in the beginning, but the nectar comes, as I said, through pain, austerity, penance. And that's, you know, all the great personalities that you read in the Bhagavatam, they were all instructed like that. When they approached their respective gurus, like Narada Muni, he was approached by Dhruva Maharaj. Dhruva Maharaj said, "I won't see God. What should I do?" If you read in the third canto, Narada Muni didn't say to him, "If you want to see God, you go to the heavenly planets and enjoy, or you go to this place and just be peaceful, relax." And no, if you want to see God, you have to go through some pain. This is the science of all the great personality, what they had to go through to become great, is the science of penance, austerity. And this science was also embraced by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He left home, he left his wife, beautiful wife. Chaitanya Charitamrita says that Lakshmi Priya, she was the most beautiful, she had the most beautiful feature of all the goddesses of fortune put together. Now, how can you leave something very beautiful for some austerity? Well, what did he do? He left the ashram and he went out for the benefit of the world, for us. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he took sannyas, not for himself, he didn't need to take sannyas, but it was for us that, you know, that we are now sitting down here and trying to cultivate our good fortune that he gave us. So there is something more beautiful than anything else. There is something more beautiful than the beauty of the goddess of fortune. There is something more beautiful than the wealth, all the six opulence that Krishna, he has, but, you know, he's always bored with them. And what is that thing beautiful? Does anybody know? That he has to leave everything, and in order for him to, it's very much wanted by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, by God. What is that beautiful thing? Anybody? Krishna Prema is there, of course, but it's actually the relationship that he has with the jiva. It is said in the eighth canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam that there is nothing else that the Lord desires. Is Atmarama Jamunayo. Atmara means self-satisfied. Jamunayo, very peaceful. But still, there is something that is hankering. Of course, you hit also on the nail, Krishna Prema. It's the Krishna Prema that it is the correct answer given, offered by the conditioned souls. When we, he very much wants us to have this love for him, to wake up this love for Krishna, love for the Lord. So therefore, he's always hankering for that. And that love comes into devotion through devotional service. Of course, in the beginning, we don't offer pure love. Jai Shishi Radha Gokulananda ki ja, Sitarama Lakshmana Hanumanji ki ja, Shishi Gornitai ki ja. But in the beginning, it's very lukewarm or very cold. You can call it faith. Faith, in the beginning, we start everything with faith. The origin of prema, it's actually faith. We just need a little bit of faith. And that's what we are fishing outside. For some people who can give a little bit of faith to purchase these books. When they give a donation for those books, they meet a devotee. It's along with the donation, they also pay with a little bit of faith. That's what the Bhaktivinoda Thakur says. I go in the marketplace of the holy name and I sell the holy name for what? For a little bit of faith. People, they just, more than money, what is required is a little bit of faith, because that faith is what saves them. That faith is the beginning of their spiritual life, and that faith will impel them eventually to read the book. And that's why, who was Shivaram Swami told me once, said book distribution is an act of faith. Now I couldn't understand that, but actually it's, if you think, that's what it is. It's an act of faith for the distributor, and it's an act of faith, is an exchange of faith. Is an act of faith also for the receiver. Because we are all trying, we want the people to achieve what? Krishna prema. But what is the origin of Krishna prema? Right? There are different hierarchy of quality we have to do. In the beginning, what do we need? Shraddha. That's faith. And just like you want to cook, you know, you can't just have a burfi in the kitchen without going through the process. What is the origin of burfi? Milk, right? So, just like as the origin of burfi is milk, so the origin of prema is also faith. But faith, it's very liquid, very weak. It's not, you can't taste, even when you churn it, again and again and again. I remember when I first, before I became a devotee, 1979, one of the Hare Krishna person, he gave me the recipe for burfi because I liked it very much. He said it's very simple. Go in the kitchen, put a 1 liter of milk and just stir it. That's all you have to do. You stir it. And that's what I was doing. But I say, in the beginning, I didn't have any faith, you know, that it will turn, you know, into a sweet or burfi. Said, I'm doing for a long time, look at this, but nothing happened. Yeah, what's going on? So I had to have the patience, you know, for about, I think it takes about 25 minutes, half an hour. There's any sweet maker, yeah. How long, I forgot how long it, Lalita, how long it takes to make a burfi? Does half an hour at least, isn't it? Right, and depends the flame as well. How? So I remember it was for ages, for a long, long time, because I, you know, I was a young boy, and young people, they like fast food, you know, fast things. So I was a churner. I said, you know, I have to have this burfi, but I didn't know the labor that you have to invest, you know, in order to have the burfi. So I was churning and churning and churning until all of a sudden it was starting to become thicker and thicker and thicker. And when it becomes thicker, even without putting sugar, it does tastes very sweet, isn't it? Isn't it? The burfi, it tastes very... This is just a little, a very crude example of prema. You churn your faith, churn with a sadhana, with your reading. This is all churning program. What you're doing today, hearing the words of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, that's a churning. You're churning your milk, your faith. And book distribution, it's a very fast way how to achieve the ultimate goal of life. It is an act of faith. And then, you know, the devotees, the person who received the book, what is the next thing? You read it, and he wants associate. That's what happened to me. I read a few things about the book. A friend of mine invited me to his house, and he got a book himself, but he was never interested, so he put it in the cupboard. This is my little story, how I became a devotee. You like to hear it? Yeah. So I was invited to his house, and I was playing with his daughter. He was older than me, friend of mine, and he had a daughter. So I was playing with her. And the mother asked me, please have a seat. Sit down. We'll make something for you. Would you like some coffee or would you like some chamomile? Usually I used to like the Italian coffee. Every time I would go in his house, I would have the Italian coffee. But on that day I had a headache. And you could see great things happen, you know, they always happen when you're suffering. I had a bigger headache. I said, you know what, you have a chamomile, I'll have a chamomile. So she asked me, where do you sit down? There was two cupboards, one on the left and one on the right. Somehow or another, the girl, I was trying to sit under the cupboard where the chamomile was. And then the girl ran, you know, she ran and she climbed on the chair, so I couldn't sit there. So I sat on the other chair. And then, where the girl was, there was a coffee. And where I was sitting, on top of me there was a chamomile. So she asked, what do you want? I said, okay, I'll have a chamomile because I've got a headache. So she opened the cupboard. And this BTG fell on my lap. Picture of Prabhupada. Beautiful picture of Prabhupada. I still have that BTG in my house. It was 1979. That's it. I said, well, where is this from? And then my friend came and said, yes, you remember, a few months ago, we were, me and my girlfriend and him and his wife, we were in a restaurant somewhere in Rome, a few months before. And they made me drinking, you know, I never liked beer, but I had to drink some beer, half a glass of beer. Because I was brought up in a monastery, so I was not, you know, addicted to these things, you know, smoking, drinking and all this. So they made me drink it. They forced me to drink a half pint of beer, and I got drunk. Usually people, they need to drink, you know, like 4 or 5 pounds, you know, beer. So anyway, and then my mind went bizarre. I started, you know, I've been in this place. I think I know that I was having like a deja vu. Like, you know, I think I've been here already. He said, my friend said, this is the first time we came here. What are you talking about? He said, can you please shut up? You sound like one of those Hare Krishna people, you know, the reincarnation thing, you know. Because I was saying, oh, maybe in my previous lives I've been here. So I was going on and on and on about reincarnation, but I didn't know why. Because the place looked so familiar to me. But you could see nothing happened by chance. Then after 2 months, this episode took place in his house. BTG fell on my lap. And then he came out and said, you remember about, you know, the conversation in the restaurant, you know, you were talking about reincarnation. These are the Hare Krishna people, he said it to me. I said, oh, interesting. So when I went home, I read a few pages. My life changed. The world was, I became, you may think, you know, that I actually became very happy. No, I became very depressed. That's how my life changed. I had a nervous breakdown. I left my job, my business, my girlfriend. I left everything. This is actually a true story. I said, is it possible? It was like the calling of God. I was reading the BTG, then I wanted to meet. My next step, I was very interested because I could see the hypocrisy in the world, you know, the politicians, people lying to me, even my own family members, you know, cheating me. And so I felt like a delicate tongue, you know, situated between sharp teeth, you know, in that society, out of the monastery. I didn't know how to blend in. So I became depressed. And then I wanted to go to a temple. I said to my, take me to the temple. He took me to the temple. And that's when I met Tridanti. I don't know if any of you knows Tridanti here. Hands up anyone who knows Tridanti from Italy. Prabhupada disciple. He came to UK. He spent about 4 or 5 years here. Anyway, so he preached to me. And since that time, see, you could see that my little faith in the beginning, it became association. So what the acharya, they say, it all came true. Then after association, I wanted to do some service. That's bhajana kriya. So you have a shraddha, sadhu sangha, bhajana kriya. And then what comes from a bhajana kriya when you do service? Anartha nivritti, because bhajana kriya means a scraping. So you're expected to have some dirt coming up. It's not that devotional service is blissful in the beginning. Don't cheat the new bhakta. Don't mislead them. That's the truth. Of course, if you have a faith, it's Krishna will hold you by hand in the beginning. But if someone comes to you and says, oh, don't worry, just the devotional service is pure ecstasy, it's blissful, it's, that person is trying to sell you something. He needs some help, you know, so he wants to make you to do things. But actually, the reality is that devotional service in the beginning is painful. Because anartha nivritti, all the anartha, they come up. Even, you know, you feel very nervous to talk to the guru, nervous to talk to the... It's because all these anartha, they are coming up. They're uncomfortable. But don't be afraid. It's normal. It's very, very normal. It means you are under the shower, and if you see the dirt coming out, that's not a problem. It's natural. So, but I have to say this, that in the beginning, when we are scraped off by the bhajana kriya, and anartha nivritti takes place, that's when Krishna holds us by the hand very tight, that we won't go. We have to understand that there is the hand of the Lord there, and He uses sometimes very merciful devotees, very kind devotees, to take care of us, because it's a very fragile state when we join. That's why the karmis, they're very, very fragile. When they take a book, we have to be extremely caring for them. Cultivation, very important. It's like Sutapa, he takes very nice care of all the new devotees. It's not that, you know, you throw them out in the street, distribute books. No. It's, you know, you make them taste a little bit the blissful Krishna consciousness, the blissful mercy that comes in, through the care of Krishna and some of those merciful devotees who take care of you when you're going through the process of anartha nivritti. And then, when you become a little bit more strong, then Krishna leaves you. That's when we start, you know, to become a little bit challenging, criticizing the movement. That's good in one sense. It's part of the process. You know, you're not in on reverence anymore, but you're starting to stand on your own feet. You know, because Krishna has left your hand, now nishta. You have to become strong, fixed. And you need what to do then? So what you do, you take the shelter of the books, shelter of senior devotees, and you actually, in this way you are protected, the nishta is protected, until you get some taste. Ruchi. That's when ruchi comes. Ruchi doesn't come when you start devotional service. Ruchi comes when we go through, when we've been through the pain already. And then ashakti, attachment to the devotees, attachment to Krishna. So you could see, it's not that you get the burfi, you have to churn. And then Krishna prema, bhava, after ashakti bhava, and then Krishna prema. So book distribution, why am I saying all this? It's because book distribution, it will take you very, very quickly towards the journey. You can taste, actually, Krishna prema, some glimpse of bhava and Krishna prema into the mood of, because you have to invest yourself with the mood of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Mahaprabhu, he came to taste it as a devotee. He wanted to taste, you know, what is this taste, you know, that my devotee experience. So God himself is very eager to taste that, this mood of giving, because the nature of the soul becomes happy when it gives. The nature of material mind and the senses, they become happy when they take. But that's different types of happiness, which only lead to suffering. So when you give something to someone with your heart, without anything in exchange, that's bhava. That's Krishna prema. And people, when they receive it, along with the book, they also, if you do it with faith, that degree of faith, they will also imbibe. They will also invest. You will actually influence them, or you contaminate them with your own faith. That's what it means, the book distribution. Whatever degree of faith you have, and in whichever degree of faith you do it, that faith will be transmitted also to the people. It's not just a matter of passing out an object, a book, and that's it. That's why people sometimes they get attracted to a book distributor, because they get something else beside the book. They get those things, you know, that they can't find, you know, in the working place with their family. They get, you know, that real care. You know, a messenger is come, you know, your dad is waiting for you. You know, they find a real friend. Surinam Sarvabhu, actually a book distributor, he can be identified as a Surinam Sarvabhuteshu. He is a friend to everyone. Sometimes devotees, they say, how dare you saying that? Only Krishna can be a friend, not a devotee. But actually, it's not a fact. There is another verse in the Gita, Yoga Yukto Vishuddhatma Vijidatma Jidendriya Sarvabhudatma Bhutatma Kurvanapi Nalipyate. What's the translation, the correct English translation? One who is pure soul, who controls his mind and his senses, is very dear to everyone, and everyone is very dear to him. So that proves that someone who is pure, that is a verse for the book distributor. It's a verse, every time I think of that verse, I remember Prabhupada. That's what he did for us. Why everyone liked Prabhupada? Everyone loved him. Because Prabhupada loved everyone. So, In order for us to become dear to Krishna, we have to invest our consciousness with this mood to try to go out, and even if we make one person favorable and close to Krishna, that is an act of faith, is an act of giving. That person eventually will start to churn the milk of his faith. Like 2-3 years ago, there was a karmi, a person, actually I call him a karmi because he was engaged in karmic activities, drinking, smoking, and I don't want to mention a name, but upon receiving the book, his Krishna consciousness, his faith began, and now he's a full-time devotee. Now he's taking initiation. So it made me realize, of course he's not me, Krishna has used me as an instrument, that this potential is in everybody, in every receiver of a book. Those people, even if they don't become devotee after a week or a month or a year, don't be discouraged. Usually a neophyte person thinks that the whole world should become a devotee, should come to the temple, join the Bhakta program. This is the attitude of a neophyte devotee, but actually not. Krishna has got his own way how to purify everybody. Brihat Maridanga, why? People, they take the book, they go, they travel, wherever they go, they can also influence their friends, their family members, just like I became a devotee. My friend, he was a favorable, but he didn't become a devotee, but the BTG that he had in his house affected me. So if he would have joined the temple with his own BTG, I wouldn't have become a devotee. So Krishna has got his own nitya-gritti, you know, his own way, mechanism, you know, how to touch everybody. Mayadhyakshena praktiti sujate such. The hand of Krishna is behind everything. There are things we cannot understand. Sometimes we shed so much blood, you know, with book distribution, but we make no devotees. And we think, oh, we've been making a hole in the water here. Nothing is happening. But it's not a fact. Don't think, the damage, Prabhupada said, the damage has been done. You wait and see. But you could see that many people, you know, they come into Krishna consciousness. But many of them, they're practicing at home. You don't see many devotees sitting here for class, but there's so many of them hearing on internet. And not many people, that you see that they going out on book distribution from the temple. It's that Maya. Actually, we can't really see properly. Things are the other way around now. Before, the biggest congregation was in the temple. And all the book distributors you could see face to face, I remember. 60, 70 of us. But there was nobody from the congregation going out. So the temple was resting on 70 shoulders. But look at now. There is a big mechanism, you know, like Sutapa Prabhu is trying to organize. There is such a huge congregation outside, 500 people. They are not sitting here, but look at that, how Krishna make things moving. The congregation, they're doing most of the work than the temple of devotees. So we don't know, in London also, many, many people, they take part in book distribution, in preaching. In Russia is growing very fast now. Very big congregation. In India. So the movement actually is doing a lot of damage. And those, they think, you know, that nothing is happening, they are in Maya. I don't like to use this word, in Maya. They are actually in Maya. They are in illusion. They think that the movement should go according to what their conception or perception will dictate to them. But actually the movement moves according to the conception and perception of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He is in charge. He is in charge. We are just little puppets. Now if we want to take a little bit of credit, if we want to be recognized by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, just only requires for us to understand this phenomena, that he's changing the world. He's the one. Mahaprabhu, by him coming 500 years ago, he already changed the world. And maybe for 10,000 years, or maybe the old Kali Yuga will always have devotees because of him. So the credit goes to him. And all the acharyas, they're just supporting these phenomena. We are not, sometimes we think, oh, it's because of our strategy, or our preaching, or our... We of course, we need intelligence behind all our activities. But actually, this mercy that the acharyas, they're talking about, that mercy, it says in the translation, yeah, it's not given by us. We're just passing it on, isn't it? We're just passing it on. When the personal associates of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would hear of the activities of Rupa and Sanatana Goswami, they would say, what is wonderful for a person who has been granted the Lord's mercy? So, for someone who has received a little bit of the Lord's mercy, then don't expect anything less from that. Even if he does wonderful things, don't be surprised, because it's the mercy of the Lord. That person is empowered by the Lord. And that's why things, they grow nicely. So, sorry, I went 10 minutes over. I stop here and ask if there is any questions, quick questions. Just one second. Yes. Can I say more about the monastery? In a nutshell, the training that they've given me was to the little of basic faith. They taught me how to have a basic faith in Jesus. And I strongly believe that by the mercy of Jesus, I got the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Of course, yeah, I left it at the age of 16. But like Prabhupada, he always glorifies the activities and the personality of Jesus. of course, now there are not many Christians left on the planet. I think there is only one bona fide Christians nowadays. Do you know who it is? Sorry? It's Jesus. Jesus is the only Christian left. Because people, they claim to be Christians, but they do everything, and everything they do, it's all against his teachings. So who is the only Christian left on the planet? That's Jesus. And he's only appreciated, yeah, you're right, by the Hare Krishna, by people who follow his teachings. What makes you a follower is when you follow the instructions dictated by that person, by the words of that person, the books that person left behind. So the Bible, we are actually following all the rules of the Bible. And that's why we are trying to follow the real sense of Christianity. So that's my little thing.